who are with us all the time, members here, know our, you know, what we've been doing here is a three-year run-through of the whole Bible, of the three-year cycle. This is the program, and there's visitors, there's new members here, there's people who haven't been here, so I'm going to go over this this morning partially and get into the introduction of Acts. And make sure you understand exactly what we're trying to do here. Back in our classrooms, we go through the Bible in 3 years. All right, they start down at the youngest ages back there, and they do what they can, obviously, at the younger ages. But we go 3 year cycles, and by the time they reach into the high school, they've gone through it, you know, three or four times. And have a really, really good basis of knowledge for them as they go into work, college, whatever they choose to do. So one of the things that we hadn't done is provided the ability for the adults to really do that cycle for quite some time. So we started almost 3 years ago, doing that in here, for the adults. We also have a class, an adult class, a smaller class, going through the same thing. And, the other thing that we do here is, we call this the foundations class as well. And what we do for our teachers who are going back into our classrooms to teach, we cover the material that's going to be taught back in the classes back here, okay? One quarter before they do. So we're going through the early church here in this quarter as part of the foundations and part of the auditorium class. Then the teachers who want to and want to stay in here and get a refresher and just get it all in their mind again before they go and teach, come in here to this class for a quarter, get it all in their minds and get ready for their class, and then they teach it in the next quarter to the kids. So that's kind of the way we do it. So I want to make sure that everybody understands the cycle as we go into it. And this document right here, if you haven't gotten this, if you're new or you just need another copy, let me know. In fact, back there on that podium, there is a sign-up sheet. If you want the PDF copy of Acts, all right, in Bob Waldron's book, The Early Church, if you want that, go tell the good news. I think that's the title. Sign up on that, and Steve's going to get you a PDF of that. If you also if you want a copy of this, cycle, it's just three pages of a doc. Put that down too. Just put a little note that you'd like that, and we'll send it to you in PDF. Or if you want it printed out, let me know. Absolutely, and we'll print it out. Also, there is a syllabus on the sound board back there. In fact, if somebody will volunteer to go back there and grab those and start passing those out, the syllabus. We were supposed to do that this morning. Steve did up a syllabus, so anybody who would volunteer to hand out some of those, I'd appreciate it. Alright, so the cycle is a kind of a three-year cycle. The first cycle is pretty easy. You only have to learn, and by the way, there's some learning and memorizing in this. You know, those who've been in here know that I like going through this. And let me just say from a personal standpoint, what has happened, what can happen in congregations is we go through and you know, a lot of times we'll get a workbook and study a certain topic in a class. And in that workbook, you know, parents make their kids fill it out, obviously, and you know, be prepared for the next one. And we do that over and over. And in doing that, obviously there's knowledge is gained and learned. What is, in my experience, and I think is broader for folks. And that is that topics are picked from here, from here, from here, from here, and different topics. And a real understanding and a real sense of the Bible story is absent from that knowledge when that approach is taken. The elders, I don't know how long it's been now. We started this, what? I don't know. Close to 15, maybe 20 years ago, we started doing this from Bob Waldron's material. And we use his material. However, obviously his workbooks are not meant to, you know, in a class study, just, you know, go through it. And, you know, it's a telling of the story of the Bible going through all those books. Well, it wasn't, when we started, I guess I was in college, pretty close to it, when Bob showed, when I learned this method, and it changed it for me. it really showed me, I really understood more than I ever had in my life. And, you know, those who know me, I did the private school thing and I was here my whole life. And I still, even with all that, it didn't mesh as this complete story that I learned when we started doing this. Now, most of the time, a lot of you know this material. And you know the subject and you know the knowledge and everything is there. But this is just a simple framework to put that knowledge, right? For those who are just beginning, who are new Christians, who don't know anything, it's a great framework to build and start hanging everything off of. But those of us who have been Christians for a long time, you've got the knowledge and you can just organize it, very effectively with this. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that. So the cycle is three cycles, all right? And we're, in doing this 3 year, that's the third cycle, all right? So the first cycle is just knowing a breakout or an outline of the periods that are in the Bible story, the periods of history. All right, so the first cycle, as you can see there, and I think we've blown it up enough. Can everybody see that? Does it need to be blown up a little bit more? All you need to know for the first part really is the numbered lines. But before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, the life of Christ, and the early church, and letters to the Christians. Those 17 things. We've got 5-year-olds, maybe younger, that have memorized those. All right? I know it's hard to memorize things as we get older, but it is a great framework. It's a great outline to start hanging everything else off of. Once we learn that basic 17 periods, by the way, we have a song that goes with it, so some of the ladies here back for the kids, we've got that for you. I'll not sing it for you this morning, but we've got that to help memorize it. Now, once those things are in place, right, and we've got those in mind, then we go just slightly deeper. All right, just one more. So the next cycle through it is to just learn some of the things that go into that period. And these are usually 5, 6, 7 things that we can put in to each of those periods. So before the flood, obviously it's just the first part of the first few chapters of Genesis. We don't even worry about chapters on this cycle or where it's found. Just some of the topics, some of the things covered in that. creation, obviously, Adam and Eve, first sin, Cain and Abel, genealogy of Adam. Right? So, just a few basic things to know. And these are the things, you know these stories if you've been a Christian for some time. You know these stories and you can just tuck these things into that period. Very basic, very organized way to think about it. After the flood. Or the flood. So, this is a pretty short division. It's just the events of the flood, but it's a major, major thing that occurred. So we break, it's broken out into its own. So the warning, the flood itself, and, directly after the flood. Now, what happens after that event? Scattering of the people. So they go out. Alright? So that's very basic. The patriarchs then. You already know these stories. You just tuck these into that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Joseph, we use him as a transition into Exodus. So, and by the way, when you go through any kind of outline like this, you just have to choose where you're going to break it. And choices were made to break these, you know, where they are. If one chapter belongs in one or the other, you know, it's no big deal if you want to, in your mind, it fits better one way or the other. Great. Then we go to the Exodus. The bondage, slavery, Moses, his story, and the 10 plagues, going through that. Then we get into wandering in the wilderness, that period, and everything there. Now, so here's my experience. Some of these stories I knew, but some of these stories were vague, all right, in my mind. And it's like, oh yeah, I do remember that. Where did that happen? So this is a good way to get these stories and put them in a particular period. Everything in the wandering in the wilderness, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, Aaron's rod, Miriam, the defeat as they start going into the land to conquer it, as they're prepared on the east side of the Jordan. So, all of that. And then, obviously after that, the invasion of the conquest when the Israelites move into the land. There's the campaign, central, southern, north, the land's divided. Once they're in the land, God sees the need for judges. He appoints judges for them. Can't read that. Don't worry about it. But you already know, you may already have memorized the judges. That's really your outline there. That's the topics in it. United Kingdom. You already know those, Saul, David, and Solomon, and all of their history and the things that they did in there. The divided kingdom, and so on. I'm going to move on along through this, through each one of these, but you can see that each one is kind of built out, as we go through here. Note the years of silence. We put that in here, in our studies here, because there is such a stark difference between when the Old Testament closes out and when the New Testament opens. The socioeconomic differences, the Jewish problems that exist in the New Testament and what they were in the Old Testament, when the Old Testament closes, that 400-year period, a lot of stuff went on that changed, you know, from one place to the other. So we study for a quarter, and it's... you know, it's the prophesied in Daniel of what was going to happen. So we definitely include that. But it's a lot of extra biblical material that we go through to show what happened as these empires rise and fall through that time period and what happens as the New Testament opens. So we include that. Then, of course, the life of Christ, we've just been through the last two quarters, the early church and letters to Christians. Now, the third cycle... it's kind of where we're at right here, and we flesh it out, and we go through it with, now this is still an overview. We don't have time when we do this to dig down and, you know, do a real analysis of verse by verse or anything like that. We leave that for older classes, adult classes. But with the third cycle here, we put the divisions, where they're at. Yeah, located in the Bible, we put books with it. You'll see the chapters and everything there. You can see it there. It's all the books laid out. I'm not going to go through that again. All right. So that's kind of where we're at. Go ahead and flip over to the other, to the PowerPoint, please. So we are now in the early church. All right. So when we look at that from that broad periods of Bible history, there's really two divisions that we can break Acts up into, and that's the first part and the second part. Chapters 1 through 12 or 13, 1 through 12, and then 13 through 28. So it's kind of a half and half. Break those up, and it's more or less dealing with the works Peter in the first part and his work, and then the last part is Paul and his work and the journeys that he goes through. Now, as we think about going into this this period of history, think about everything that's happened. Jesus, he has died on the cross. He was buried. He was raised. He showed himself to so many people. Then he ascended, the coronation, and what we read in Revelations last week. So all that has happened. So, you can say that God's plan has been fulfilled from Genesis 3:15. What God wanted to happen happened, and it was accomplished in Jesus Christ for us, for each one of us, for the world. Well, once that's happened and he's gone back, he's gone. There's a void there, right? The apostles, his disciples who followed him, I can imagine being one of them and just, what do we do now? Right? I mean, they had seen things. They had even gone out on a limited commission. They were able to perform miracles. They knew a lot. But, wow, where do we go from here? Who's going to lead us? what are we supposed to do? The thing about it is, God had a plan for all that. He knew up to this point what Jesus was going to do, what he needed him to do. That's been fulfilled. Well, God had a plan in place for the next phase, the next part, what was to happen next. He wasn't going to leave his people in the lurch. Well, and the great thing about it is, we have this completely spelled out for us, right? We know, we can see this in just an open book from when he, before the world began, his plan. We can see everything that's happened, what he accomplished in Jesus Christ, and what's about to happen. We're going to study through Acts and through the Revelation, and what that means for us 2,000 plus years later. God had all that planned out for this next part. Well, how do we know that? John 16 tells about when I go, I must go. He says, Jesus, I must go so that the Comforter can come. All right? Well, reading through it, I don't think any of them really understood what that meant. But we can know because we've got the whole story laid out for us. When the Comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he was going to take care of all their questions, what they needed to be doing, how this was going to work. He was the answer, and God had prepared that to happen. We'll see in Acts that many accepted this. Many accepted. The apostles, as they learned, as they got the information, the Holy Spirit provided it to them, and they preached, and they taught, and shared, and as witnesses of Christ and what had happened in his resurrection. Many believed, many accepted that and became loyal followers of Christ and joined this movement, this way. And they were convinced that of exactly what we were just talking about, that God had this plan, He saw it through to Jesus. He's the Messiah. The Messiah that the Jews were looking for, that, you know, for their whole life, were looking for the Messiah. And they were convinced this is Him. This was Him. And believed and joined, and submitted to Him. Others however, had expected the Messiah to be something completely different than how Jesus manifested Himself. They didn't expect Him to be so, I don't know, maybe subdued, right? And had no concept of this spiritual, kingdom that he talked about that he was building. They didn't expect that. They expected the Jews, you know, because of the 400 years of period of silence and everything that happened to them, the Jewish revolt, they expected a military, you know, leader, a political leader, someone who could save the Jewish people. And that didn't happen. And they rejected him. And there was no coming back. You know, and think about who, from the epistles, who was it that got the, it seems like got the, of the apostles and their disciples, who got the most abuse? Might be arguable, but Paul got a ton of abuse, right? Why did he get more, but he got a lot of abuse in his lifetime. He came from them. He was one of them that objected, that didn't agree, that did not believe. He was one of them who came out of that, you know, of that idea to the other side, to accept Jesus, to know that Jesus is the Messiah, and he learned all that. And he caught a lot of trouble for that decision in his life. You know, today, we're getting there's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of abuse. It hadn't become violent or anything like that. But there's a lot of trouble on the front for Christians. It's just, you know, every time you look at something, something's changing, something, and it's just a step. You know, and I don't know, you know, where we, you know, we obviously aren't going to, we don't need to, we don't want to compromise at all, for anything that's going on culturally, politically, socially, or whatever. But I think it is something that every one of us is going to have to decide where we're going to draw the line, right? Because it's a slow moving, you know, transition. It's been going on since, you know, maybe the 80s, the 90s for sure. You know, this transition, that's happening in our culture. And when it happens so slowly, you know, what we tend to do, and it's just, we all have to make a decision. At what point do we say, no, you know, do we do it sooner? You know, when do we do that? Well, the sooner the better, I guess, right? And we don't compromise, the truth, and knowing this story, go back to that, what God did for us all the way through. Is there anything we shouldn't or don't want to do because He did everything for us? I mean, we should throw ourselves completely to Him to do what He wants us to do. Because, wow, the whole plan that took hundreds, thousands of years to accomplish, He did that for us. Right? For our small little blink of an eye period of history that we live in our time span, we should give Him everything we've got. Right? Well, keep going. Acts is this, obviously, this history of the work of the apostles. the history of the church as its beginning, and we can see that, and we can learn from it. It's the bridge from the Gospels, from all of Jesus' work during his life and after his resurrection, and all of that, to bridge us to the rest of the New Testament and God's plan revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles who provide it for us, so that we can see how the Christians were to behave themselves, to act, what God wants from his people. So, we've already gone through that, the division 1 through 12, the chapters 1 through 12 and 13 through 28. And Wayne covered this, but it's worth noting because it's so prevalent in Acts, and Wayne read some of that last week, so, but the message of the apostles in this beginning, and for quite some time through Acts, he tells them, the apostles were to convict them what they had done, that Jesus was the Messiah, that you killed him, God raised him up, and we saw it. And so as they presented that, many believed and began following them and Christ. All right, let's keep going here. I've already kind of been going through this, so I'm not going to hit it again, but it's been planned since the beginning. Genesis 3, Titus 1, it was promised before the world even began, this plan that God made. In Hebrews, God's dealing with man through time, patriarchs, through the period of the Jews, the Israelites as his people, and in these last days of the epistles. Now, all of these plans, you know, and if we say it culminates at the cross and the resurrection, and God showed, you know, everything there. It was the prophecies, a lot of prophecies were fulfilled in this first part of Acts, of the church and what God's people were going to look like. Because in their minds, especially at that time, their minds, the Jews, that was God's people. That was it. They were the ones. That was not to be. And that's a huge change for them, for their culture, their society, their everything that they did, everything that how they lived. That's a huge, huge change. And there was problems with that, as we'll see going through Acts, and through the epistles. There was issues with that of, you know, they were trying to figure out, you know, for themselves in their lives, okay, well, what of the old law are we to keep? You know, and some of them tried to bring, you know, the circumcision and things like that, that we read about, and bring that over into, this new, kingdom and this new covenant. And, you know, the apostles, they had to write to them, they had to work with them and say, no, that is not. And even some of the apostles themselves would get caught up in that, right? So, you know, it wasn't a perfect transition. We're talking about, these were human beings, these were people just like us. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't just, you know, everything fell in line. They had trouble with that transition and learning those things. So we see all that. We'll see all that as we go through Acts. And through the epistles. So, God planned for the church, as we see it developed and began here in Acts, as the vehicle for the gospel. This is how it's to be. This is how the gospel gets shared, through the church, through us, each one. This is how the gospel spreads. So, once we have the knowledge, then what? It's our turn to go and tell others, right? If we sit on this, you know, and we don't tell anybody, was it that important to us? Right? The things that are most important to us, we talk about. And we share. So as we go through Acts and we progress through, you know, how the gospel spreads, first it stays in Jerusalem with the Jews themselves. And this is all told and laid out for us. And because of the persecution, though, disciples were scattered. They go everywhere preaching the gospel. It goes out to Judea, goes to Samaria, and then finally, you know, it's going everywhere, to all the world. And we see that develop. We'll see that as we go through. The themes of the book of Acts, just some things that we can highlight. And this will be the last part of really what I have to cover with us. To share. We'll see the ascension of Jesus. We haven't actually covered that. That's in the first part of Acts here in the first chapter. We'll see that. The establishment of the church. We'll see people coming, accepting him, being baptized. And we see what, you know, fast forward 2,000 years later to us, seems to be a real difficult thing to grasp and to get a hold of is the Holy Spirit and what he does for us, what he's done for us. That's a real difficult thing for the world to grasp when we talk about that. It's laid out for us exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. And it, you know, if we understand that very well, then it's pretty easy to tell other people how the Holy Spirit works. But we have to know that very well, right? Ourselves. Don't let it be, in other words, a topic or a subject that it's like just as a vague understanding of it. Because a lot of people have a lot of trouble with this part. Learn it. Study it. Learn it so that you can pass it on to others and show them. And the fulfillment of the work and the Holy Spirit working through the Christians there in the first century with, you know, speaking in different languages, the miracles they did, other gifts that they were given, knowledge and things. And one of the great things we learn is the conversions in Acts. And we have example after example after example of people who became believers. So how do we become, and I know everyone in here, you know, knows this. All right. But the idea is to take this and to share it with other people. It's not a hard thing to understand. It's pretty clear. All right. Some people will accept it. Some people won't. All right. As it's laid down in the Bible. But we'll learn in the Acts, the 3,000, the Samaritans, the example of Simon, the Ethiopian, Cornelius being the first Gentile conversion, Sergius Paulus, Lydia the jailer, the Corinthians. And the thing about it is, you know, you look at the Corinthians and all the problems that they had, right? We're not perfect. They weren't perfect. We're not expected to be perfect, right? But what are we expected to do? Give our hearts. Give everything we have to God, because he did a whole lot more for us than we can ever do for him. Part of the movement against the Christians and the persecutions that, you know, they were mocked. The apostles were imprisoned. They were beaten left and right. Stephen obviously suffered very early on in this new covenant and way and movement, and was killed for that. Paul, we talked about, and the Judaizers that we talked about, you know, trying to bring elements of the old law into this new, and the difficulties that they had with that. And we'll learn about the things that we are doing here, you know, every time we meet. You know, what does God want us to do in here? What does he want? Because that's what it's all about. It's not about my ideas. It's not about, us coming up with new ways or new things to draw in people even. You know, honestly, the Bible and his word is the draw. Now, we go out and preach it and teach it, but, and we want to bring people in, but God wants the draw to be him and not some superficial thing that we may invent and come up with. All right, so that's that. Any questions, any comments? I did all the talking, so that's all right. I like listening to me. All right, that'll conclude what we're doing this morning, so we can just go ahead and dismiss. Don't forget to sign up back here if you want the PDF or if you want a copy of the cycles.